Now. Hey everyone, great day. I hope it is for you, and I hope you're doing well. At the time of this recording, I am putting this out there. I waited for a couple of days to determine if I was going to send out a recording and a video and an overview of opinion and thoughts. And I did actually record multiple different recordings and feedback in response to the lawsuit that came out that is in quote unquote unsettled territory at this current time. But the NAR, National Association of Realtors, has decided to bone up $418 million to settle these lawsuits, along with other people such as RE/MAX and Keller Williams and a handful of others. Just for clarity, guys, there's billions upon billions upon billions of dollars that are on the line here. And if these guys don't settle or offer to sell it anyway, they have to, the only way to go forward is to appeal these judgments that are out there against them. The big ones currently are roughly about $5.8 billion, and they have to put up a bond in order to be able to appeal, right, of in those amounts. So on one side, it's less expensive for them to settle, make an offer of settlement, than it is to risk losing, billions of dollars in potential loss. I don't know if they would win or lose. I think based on the current environment, the psychology of the marketplace in real estate, there's probably a good chance that they wouldn't really make it. And the other part of it is because of their inability to formally make an argument about the value proposition that we in our industry of real estate bring to the table, in a very succinct and powerful way. We have a couple of things going against us. The attorneys that are representing plaintiffs, and of course the defendants, are all making money, godly amounts of money, whether pushing paper now and or hoping that these settlements will finalize and the remaining amounts of money will be distributed amongst tens of thousands of people potentially. There's a lot of things up in the air as to what the numbers are. This is an unsettled arrangement that's occurred, at least of most recent, regarding the National Association of Realtors. And as a result, there's a ton of uncertainty out there amongst a lot of people. And there's a lot of things I could say here. There's a lot of talking heads that have their opinions, and some of things I'm in agreement with, and other things, just kind of got to wait, right? But I do believe this, that change is here. And what we have seen and what we saw in the last couple of days is now into the mainstream. The last several months, these lawsuits have been going on. A lot of you have been present and aware of them, especially if you're with major companies like a RE/MAX or a Keller Williams and Caldwell and other major firms. But these lawsuits, in and of themselves, these lawsuits have been out there, and they're making these determinations that have been out there in terms of what the potential ramifications are. So it is now into the mainstream. To get to my point, it's in the mainstream now, meaning more consumers, even though some people knew about it and may be aware of it, more sophisticated type individuals, should I say, in our space of real estate, such as maybe investors or, people who own multiple properties, or they bought and sold multiple properties in their lives, could be the higher end, sophisticated people, et cetera. But fundamentally, this now is into the mainstream. So it's going to be more of a talking point. When I say mainstream, it's been behind closed doors, so to speak. It's been available, but it's been behind closed doors where the consumer really hasn't had a good purview of what's going on. So as the headlines came out with some of the news media corporations, the clickbait headlines that I saw put out there, the real estate industry is doomed. Breaking news. Stop all facets of real estate living. Move on to the middle of the street and get your tents out. They might as well have said that because in the essence of that, they basically are telling people out of context the reality of the situation. Now, I get headlines. I teach on that. You need to have good headlines. You're probably watching this recording because of a headline, but it cannot be fear-based, and it shouldn't be. I say fear-based in a way that causes people to really freak out because it does not give any context to the reality of situations. In most cases, when it comes to, excuse me, news headlines, because really it's about getting eyeballs on their station so they can send to their advertisers that we have X amount of people looking at our site and clicking here and clicking there, and put up your advertising and we'll get you results. And that's fine. I mean, listen, capitalism is at its best in those facilities. But I think for our business, we have to be responsible because this is by far, if not the largest investment most people will ever make in their lives, it is by far the biggest thing that they'll ever do. Moving and selling and packing and kids and school and how much money can I afford, and income and credit and a lot of parts that in our industry move around. It guides a lot of our direction in what we do in our lives. Housing. It's basically we're about a fifth of our economic gross domestic product in terms of volume. And it's an important aspect of what we do. It's an important aspect of what, when I say we, that means all of us as consumers, because most people live in a house or a condo or they rent an apartment. And there's a handful of people, unfortunately, that are homeless. But even then, they live in shelters with a roof and got. But that being said, we have to take in, we have to put into context, and this is real important. You can't be misled by what you might see or hear on the news reports. There's some things that are important. Don't misunderstand me. I want to know what's going on in my neighborhood so I can protect my family. But we have to look at the depth of things and the meaning of things, because the results that we get in our lives are based on meanings that we attach to things. And if somebody else is creating meanings for us, then we tend to lean in that direction that doesn't give us certainty. It might give us uncertainty. Or I might say you should feel good and do affirmations every day so you can feel better up in your mindset. And therefore, you're going to follow along within the framework of that particular context. So it's really important. It's incumbent upon you as professionals in this industry to put into context all of the meaning of everything that you see out there at this juncture, keeping in mind that what you're seeing in the headlines and even in the settlement agreements that are put forth at their current time might change, right? So there's a lot of, and I was talking to one of my great clients, and we were talking about this for a good half hour, 40 minutes, about what she thinks. And she deals in a very high-end area here in South Florida. And when we're not talking, $1 million is a down, is a deposit, right, on a property. Average price is between 8 to 12 million in her space, and she deals in a lot of people 15, 20, 30, 50 million dollars. And really, it bodes to understanding that there's a lot of things that we have to put into place here. These brokerages, the states, the multiple listing services, the governments, the DOJ, the National Association, the other major brokerages, from Compass to KW to the mom and pop broker out there, there's going to be a lot of moving parts. Does not include what we must bring into consideration, as my client and I were speaking of. What are the sellers going to say? I mean, I have listings that are in place. If these things and these rules change, what's going to happen to them? All of these questions are at this point not fully answered. There are some things that I believe, just my opinion of 45 years of actual production in the industry, doing close to 5,500 plus transactions between real estate and financing. Closings that I have done personally, with, along with myself and my teams. We give them some credit as well. We all deserve the credit for the hard work we put our asses into in that time frame. But from 1982 to basically 2008 was a productive time for a lot of people. We had our ups and we had our downs. There was a high level of production in the late 90s going into the mid 2000s, and there was a lot of volume. We did a lot of volume back then. Point being said is that we have to take into consideration, first and foremost, our mindsets about what's going on. And how do we do that? Well, we first sit back and we have to look, okay, as the great Stephen Covey said in his book, The Seven Habits, is to seek first to understand before trying to be understood. It's really important that you do that. So we can have our feelings and our emotions, and there is a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of things going on in my head right now. How to articulate this message to you? What do I say? How do I say it? Where do I pull this information from to make sure I give you the very best of encouragement and information, you know, that is real, that is raw, that is relevant? And there's a lot of things going on, especially in our business, because again, real estate is a very large and integral part of all of our lives, whether you're in the business of selling or investing or just living in a home. Okay. There's a lot of things going on, guys. So first, we have to sit back and take care of what's going on up here. I made no notes, so I'm not referring to anything except as it comes along. So if I feel like I'm sounding, if it sounds like I'm being redundant here in some things, I probably will be. Unfortunately, you can shut this off now and come back later when I may be edited, which I probably won't, because I'm not going to want to go back through this again. I'm just trying to give you my purview at this given moment. So that being said, so the mindset is very important for you to understand that you have to take things and seek first to understand what's happening. Your brokers, if you are in a company, or maybe you are the broker or a team leader, you may be a major corporation listening to this. We have to keep it in mind that things are not just yet settled, but they will be, because it's if there's one thing I will agree to, that it will be settled. Because it's now out there. We're talking not a couple of bucks here. We're talking billions upon billions of dollars. And two, we're talking about millions upon millions of people who've been affected or will be affected or were affected by this commission conversation that's been stirring up in the marketplace. Okay. So again, with the moving parts, we have to be very clear in our understanding. The thing behind the mindset represents a couple of important things. First and foremost, do you believe in your business? Do you believe in the value that it brings to the table for you and your clients? Does it represent something that you want to continue doing and will forever want to do, at least until you decide that you don't want to do it anymore? But for now, hey man, I'm in like Flynn. I'm going to play full out. This is a great value. People need to own homes. They need to invest in real estate. They need to understand money. They need to understand their credit. They need to have a place, whether they're just starting out or they're downsizing because they're retiring, anything in between. Do you believe in your product, good, and service? If you don't, then probably this might be a good time to exit this, because unless you're in for, you know, listening to something that doesn't make any sense to you anymore, and that's cool. There's plenty of opportunities out there elsewhere, folks. At really, there is. I mean, we do opportunities. You see behind me, E3 Global Partners. We're adding things to our plate of our business model and income streams to make our businesses grow. And we're doing it based on technology, including real estate, including money, including online marketing and course creation and content and consulting. There's a lot of things we're adding to the plate. And we're not putting our eggs in one basket. We're putting a lot of eggs in a basket, and we're watching the basket. That's what are doing here at E3 Global Partners. Now, I have my business. This E3 Global Partners relationship is with my brother David. And this is a huge part of our you know, baby boomer slide into a great retirement, but continuing to give back to what our passion has always been about, changing lives, not only ours, but God willing, yours. And there's a lot of things that go on. So If you're passionate about what you do, then stick with what you do. Listen, there was either we either hit, still have kerosene in a lamp that's keeping our house lit up, or we have electricity. If you read my email or you read my emails, you'll see how I'm reverting and referring to this in our topics of conversation. Things are going to change. Now, was this inevitable? Probably, because really the marketplace told us as a group of people in the agency business that you guys, generally speaking, not everybody, not my clients, not myself, and I'll stand up for my own value and proposition here, that most of our competitors, taking you all out of the equation who are listening to this, and if you are, we're going to put you into the bucket of nice and correct and doing the right thing. The consumer complained that the market agencies suck at what they do. I'm just going to be transparent about it because it's true. I mean, I used to sell against what I would be appalled. I mean, I was new in the business. You know, I'm in my 20s. I'm trying to sell real estate. I'm hearing, oh, you guys are terrible. Oh, you wait a minute. I'm just brand new here. What are you telling me? I'm a nice guy. You know, I got a family to feed, or trying to get one to feed, or I, you know, bills to pay, and I want to help you. I love real estate and all my excitement, enthusiasm, until you start talking to the consumer who kept saying, you guys suck at what you do. What do you mean we suck? Well, you know, the last guy I had, the last gal I had, they never called me. They never followed up with me. They took my listing and they signed some papers and they put a sign in the front yard and they disappeared into the zones of somewhere else. I don't know what happened. I don't trust you at all. Sucks. And that went through the history of our business. I don't believe it started at the beginning. I think it just became worse and worse and worse. And I don't blame the people in the industry, except for those who don't read a book or go to a seminar or have coaching that will help them and, you know, guide them through their path of success and excellence and being the very best in your skill set, your mindset, your service, your capabilities, all of those things. Even the people that I worked with and have worked with in the past and will probably work to in the future will probably get excited about what we teach and what I talk about in terms of my 5,500 over $1.5 billion in volume in a day when, you know, I don't do that anymore without question. But there's people that will come in, they'll start it, then they'll stop it and never read a book. They'll never go to another event. Most of my clients will continue to forever thrive and be alive and be personally develop because of what not only what I do, but there's so much access out there to information that will help them be better. So my point is that you have to start with your mindset that you believe in what you're doing and get away from what is perceived in the marketplace again as to why this thing occurred in the first place. I don't believe it's the only reason. Was this change going to happen? Probably eventually, because you know, guys, you're making yourself a lot of money, right? Doing not a lot of stuff, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't be paid worthy of it. I was talking to my client earlier that I mentioned to, okay? And I won't mention her name because I didn't say that I was going to bring her up here. So if she wants me to bring it up later, I'll ask her tomorrow during our coaching call that I can mention her name. And frankly, you should do business with her because she could be a great resource for you if you have a multi-million dollar client and wants to live down in the Keys in a great, beautiful area, in a beautiful, beautiful area that I've been to a few times in my life. And it's just a terrific person to know. And it's a terrific place to live. If you got a truckload of money and you want to have a place, that's great. But to the point of what she does in her environment, she said it very clearly, and I knew it, but she reminded me that when she's working with a buyer and a seller, but mainly, let's say a buyer, for example, it's not just, you know, we find a place and you like it and we write a contract on it. That's 13 pages in the National Association or the FAR Bar, and here in Florida, that's what they call it, the Florida Association, the Bar Association contract. There's more to it. There's addendum, there's paperwork. There's associations. I mean, there's a truckload of stuff that she has to do that's just not a piece of the negotiation. It's only a part of it, what she does in terms of negotiation. Everything else behind it is incredibly important. One, that it gets done, and two, effort, energy, emails, communications, back and forth, waiting and talking and negotiating and cajoling. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't recognize in. They often don't, consumer, I should I say, don't recognize what you all do. It's not that easy. It's not a walk in the park. I mean, I'd love to say that you put a house under contract and voila. Okay. Tammy, she works in the title business, and you all should call her, speaking of giving a commercial here, for a company down here in South Florida. If you want her information, in my opinion, she's the very best in the title business. There's a lot of great people out there, but she's the very best, not because we live together and enjoy our relationship together, but she is one of the best. But I can tell you, when she's doing deals and she's managing the marketing and she's managing the flow of a transaction from the title perspective, there is stuff happening today that I don't know how she even does it. It's fantastic that she's able to even get through it. But there's so many moving parts in a process here, right? So we have to take into account that we must be strong in our mindsets. Do you believe in what you do? Because I don't want to digress here, because I want to try to stay on my path. Otherwise, I can go on for hours here. So, first is your mindset. Second, do you believe in what you're doing? If so, then hang on, because the rest and the best is yet to come. I really believe that more than anything. I believe in our industry. I believe that the people in it, without question, can always be better. And I believe that those of you who want to be better, you'll always continue to be there. Whether the sun is rising and the sun setting in my life, or if I'm around, you're going to always continue to be better, because you know the value of personal and professional growth. Do you believe in the company that you represent? Do you believe in what they bring to the table? If they're uncertain, haven't talked to you about what's going on, or you feel uncertain, whatever, just you have to have the belief and the faith that you got that backup. Of course, you can always refer to me, and I'll give you the very best backup I can. Although I'm not licensed, I'm not an attorney, I'm not a CPA, I'm not here to give you legal or financial advice. Please seek the advice of those who probably know a lot better than me. But I will say this, that you have to believe in what you do, you have to believe in the company and that you represent, right? When I say what you do, your offer, your real estate, the company that represents you, because if you're not a broker, you're working for a broker, and you might be a broker but working within a brokerage, which is fine, right? But you have to believe in that process there, okay? And lastly, you got to believe in yourself. You got to believe that you are capable of getting through this, of being the word of enthusiasm and positivity to the marketplace. That's the bottom line. So I'm going to pause here for just a quick second. If you don't mind, I'll be right back with you. Sorry for the technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen, but we had a snoring dog in the background here. So life as it is, working with a beautiful, wonderful King Charles who loves to snore. So maybe you caught it in the background, maybe you didn't, but it was bugging me. Okay. So do you believe in what you do? Do you believe in your company? Do you believe in yourself? Guys, you need to be the voice of opportunity now. You need to form your own story, your own messaging about the value of those other things, your company, and what you bring to the table in terms of our space and environment. Listen, this technical part, it'll have to get ironed out. It will get ironed out. Right now, you have to respect that all of these people, because this was a major move the other day. This wasn't because of a few lawsuits a few months ago that wanted to bang everybody for $6 billion, $5 to $6 billion. This is heavy because the NRA was a part of that suit at the time, and this decision by one of the largest trade associations in the world, as known today, that advocates for a lot of people. Whether you like them or not, they're there. I mean, it's an association, and they have, I have my own opinion about them. Others have their own opinion about good, bad, ugly. Doesn't really matter. But they were an advocate to a lot of things for a lot of people. And, whatever it is about them, it is what it is, right? But at the end of the day, you have to be the voice of enthusiasm and encouragement for a marketplace that will, whether without you or me, continue to move forward. Until there is a day when there is no roofs, there is nobody who needs the rent, the government's paying for everything 100%, all of your food, all of your housing, all of your automobiles, throwing money in your bank, and you don't have to worry about nothing. You wake up limp and basically atrophied in your brain and in your body. This is going to move on, again, with or without you or me, because this is a huge part of everybody's life. Again, I might be redundant here because I said this before, you know, maybe in a different way. So I want to kind of circle back around here so I can complete my thought, because I will be here forever. This is not a webinar. This is not a bunch of hype. I'm hoping that you're not perceiving it as such. It may be pissing you off, or it may be making you happy, or you may not be listening to me right now because you said, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't know. Okay, whatever your choice is, it's all good. I don't mind either way. If you heard me say that, then let's continue down the road of becoming the best. So what do you need to do? Well, again, own, first of all, your mindset. Two, do you believe in what you do? Do you believe in what you do? I'm not here to motivate you. I'm here to ask you a simple, direct question. My business of consulting and coaching is very competitive, right? I still have to compete against people that I no longer like, or I'm sorry, I involved myself with them at some level. I'm happy what I went through, don't get me wrong, but it just pisses me off, but I still got to deal with it. But it doesn't change my belief that what I do in the coaching space, the consulting space, the marketing space, that I'm going to cave to that bullshit. Doesn't work for me, because I believe. I got a call from a client the other day who said, man, I closed the deal because of our conversations. I made $50,000 in earnings, partly because of what you did. And I appreciate that. But he carried, at the end of the day, the cross. And I got, and bless him, man. I mean, he did it, you know, imperfect, but he went through it. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the accolades. I really do. But it's not going to change my beliefs about what I do. You have to own that. You have to own what you work, who you're working with. Get in alignment with them. Oh, I can't believe they're making me. They are not making you do that. If they had their druthers, there would be a single page, two page contract. Like we had when we were starting, when we were in our diapers back in the day, riding a horse and carriage to show a home out of a paper book with pictures that were 2 weeks old in black and white, mind you. All right. So we would prefer to have things easier, but, you know, and they will get easier. So where I want to kind of fold this around here is, what do you do? Really, what do you do? Well, first, align with what's going on. As I said, the mindset, all of these things, your beliefs about what you do, who you are, all of those factors. Keep strong, keep educating, keep doing what you're doing there in your space. The other final thoughts that I will have here for now, and I say for now literally because I will be coming back, is that you all must be good at what you do. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care about all of the rules and the regs and the new paperwork that we have to fill out and the contentious arguments that we will probably have with some clients because they don't want to pay you, or they can't afford to pay you, or sellers are very happy because they don't have to pay anybody but their listing agent. You got to be good at this process here. And you're going to have to learn. Now, I can give you skills and techniques and ideas. And I'm not going to do that now, but I'm going to give you general principles of great presentations, right? And share those things with you. Because those are the foundational things. Because no matter what, those things will never change. There's always some fundamentals. Yeah, they're going to update and adapt. I don't mean that. It can't be that grotesque to think that, oh, there's only just one way to do things. No, I mean, there's presentations in and of themselves. The act of them are pretty much the same. I mean, listen, guys, you have to look enthusiastic, have a little bit of smile on your face, be direct, and you have to talk with people and converse with them rather than monologue to them. All those other things and factors. But at the end of the day, you must be good at what you do, because there are, and I'm, let's kind of hang on this for a second. The buyer presentation and the seller presentation are different, but they're the same. Meaning, if you're a listing agent, you always learned or were taught how to give a listing presentation, get an agreement signed on paperwork that you already were intimate with, and you knew what to present and you knew what to deliver. The buyers, very similar, but yet a bit different, because most of you all, and I say that tongue in cheek, but I'm just most of you all never put buyers that you're working with under a contract. I believe, again, I might be wrong, that this is the biggest thing that's going to occur, that now there's a separation that's going to happen. There'll be a buyer that has to pay a representation and a seller that has to pay for representation. That's going to be the new norm. Again, I could be wrong. Now, what I mean I might be wrong is that I don't believe they're going to keep me as a seller, if I'm selling my home, and I told this to my client today and other people that I've been talking about this with, I don't believe that sellers will just be cool with not incentivizing somebody else to come in and bring clients to them, i.e., buyers to them, because of a rule or a law. It's my decision if I want to cut a check to a buyer's agent who brings somebody else that my agent did not bring. And it's going to be my decision if I want to incentivize them and encourage them to do all they can to get my home sold, baby. That's all I care about, right? Now, that's me. I have a different bit of mindset about it and different bit of sophistication. But again, this is my space, right? Now, you have to understand that space, that you're going to have to deal with that dynamic. So with a buyer, you're going to have to present to them and you're going to have to say, "Hey man, I got to get paid for my services because I'm not getting offered any money from the other side." So what is your incentive as an agent to go out there and work with buyers, even though they're a pain in the ass? What's your incentive to go work with buyers with the unknown facility of compensation? Well, where's it going to come from? Well, I'll just call the other agent up and work out something with them. I'm going to tell you, they're not going to be as easy as they used to be. They were glad to have done it before because they're only giving up 50% of what they earned anyway. They're at least getting half of something. Before, now they're going to get a half of a half of something. Maybe. That could be it. Again, it's all negotiable. It's all negotiable. Now, if I'm an agent that's working with a buyer, I have to know what I'm going to say to them in order to earn my keep. Okay. Now, as I was telling my client, I think there's going to be two sides of this equation. One, you're going to be paid a percentage as representation, meaning that full out fiduciary, I work on your behalf. I could care less about anybody else except you, the attorney. Client privilege deal going on, okay? Because the same thing on the other side of the table with listings, same thing occurs, okay? I have certain limits and I have things that I am restricted with because I represent that client. And you're going to be signed up as an exclusive agent for a buyer as you do with a seller. Very simple. The other side of it is, at least here in Florida, we have these transaction brokers. I don't represent either party. I'm just a guy in the middle doing some paperwork. And thus, I'm going to get compensated for my services. And I'm going to get paid by, in our system currently, I'm getting paid by the seller. The buyer doesn't pay anything. Well, but Mike, it comes from the buyer, the down payment, and therefore they're getting cash out and they're getting the loan. And that money's coming to the seller out of their equity. And that money's going back to the marketplace to pay the fees. Yeah, that's true. Right? Because without a buyer, there is no sale. There's no consummation of anything. So yeah, I mean the money's coming from the banks and whatever, my cash, and it's coming out of there. It's coming out of the top, right? And I have expenses that I have to pay as a seller, and I have expenses to pay as a buyer, and something's coming out of somewhere. So these expenses have been incurred by sellers more than not. Buyer can walk in and the seller says, well, okay, you buy my property and I'll pay these guys over here a commission for you coming in to buy my property. We're done, okay? Close, collect, everybody gets paid. Expenses off the top, seller nets X amount, buyer buys for a certain amount, lenders get, you know, lend a certain amount, etc. You know, the deal, okay? So that's going to change. So where's the money going to come from? It's going to come from, well, the buyer. Could it come from the seller? I don't know. I don't, depends what the rules land out to be. Okay. They're not going to, I can't force a seller, even today, I can't force a seller to offer to pay a commission. I mean, they could take a paper, which is a contract, and scratch everything else that we have in there, and we can negotiate something on a napkin, and that should be fine. Now, will that be done? Are we talking horse and carriage days? You know, sitting at the bar, having a couple of drinks, and we sign an agreement on a napkin and get away with it? Hey, I don't know. But we could do that. I mean, technically, you could take a contract, scratch out everything on it, rewrite it on the back of that paper, and everybody sign it and agree to it. As long as it comes with valuable consideration, there's an agreement of understanding, it is in writing, you know, some of the basics of contract law as they are, right? So, but that's not going to happen. I want to be foolish here, but you know what I mean. I hope, at least I hope you do. Okay. So your buyers have to agree to that. The sellers may agree to want to carve out some money out of their equity to get you to bring buyers to them, incentivize you. And I believe they're going to have the right to do it. I think that, I don't think that's going to go away. I will fight it. If I'm a seller and I say, well, wait a minute, if I ask the other 59,999 agents here in Miami to go work for my ass to sell my home, I think they should get paid because I know they'll work for me if I'm offering some form of a compensation. I don't think, just in by and large, I might be wrong, that companies such as IBM, AT&T, Amazon, Elon Musk, Warren Buffett, the president of the United States, I don't care who it is going to work for free. I don't think they will. They need to make profit. That profit is what we call in our business of this world here, at least in my mindset, of capitalism, where we offer a good and service. There's money in exchange for value provided. You know, there's cost, there's cost of doing business, and then there's the profit after taxes and before taxes, etc. All of those things that lie in place there. I don't think that's going to go away. That being said, it's going to be a free country to whatever one wants to decide to do. What's it mean to you? You have to be good at understanding that, right? It's better that you better articulate that in your presentation. So you have to pivot a little bit in your presentations, both to the sellers, if you're going to be a listing agent, and to buyers, if you're going to work with buyers. For you all who are listing agents, hey, the time has come that you made a good decision, really, because you have really a basic full control. Now, will I say that you kick everybody to the side of the road and hope everybody comes to you? That's going to be a personal choice. I'd rather collaboration than independence, because I can probably make more money or at least have a smoother transaction. I'm not going to, you know, dissuade my competition. Hey, Mike, you know, can I show you? No, you can't, because I'm keeping it to myself. Now, there are going to be a bunch of people who become greedy and stupid. And I think that's just going to be the nature, because there's a bunch of stupid and ignorant people in the business right now that otherwise would not have been here if the market was really good back in 2020. And it really sucks right now, at least, you know, by numbers wise, that they're going to be gone anyway. So where I'm going with this, guys, is this, is that you have to be good at your presentation, both buyer and seller. You have to sit back and you have to let this dust settle more and more and more. It's not over until it's over. And again, respect what's going on in your brokerages, in your offices, in the states, in the governments. All of these things right now, there's people working 24/7, 190, 365 days. I don't know when this thing's going to wrap up. There still needs to be the fine print and the negotiation and the final disposition. And then they're starting to articulate what you should probably do now. I think they're going to move to quickly resolving the issue of the seller having to pay a compensation. I think that's just going to happen because this is already out there. Might as well get ahead of it and knock it out. And then they can do that easily. They just have to change up some languaging in our contracts and agreements, and we're off to the races again. And all this other lawsuit stuff will eventually settle. And then probably one more clean sweep before anything is fully finalized for legal, recognition and legalese, so to speak. So you have to kind of look at this and say, okay, what is my position on this? My position is this. You got to have a business to run. Go run your business. Okay? Go run your business. We're not on horses delivering mail today. We're at the speed of light when it comes to communication and this technology that you're watching right now. As I said in my email this morning, from VHS to 50 million movies that we now have, it's in the palm of our hands. I mean, that's how it is. We even have this thing called artificial intelligence. For those of you who didn't like that long word, it's AI doing thinking for us. We have the capability of asking a question of somebody that we don't even pay to give us an answer that a genius PhD could give us in a matter of a month. It took them 3 seconds. It's interesting, isn't it? Right? So we got to be ahead of that curve. So I will say this, keep it fundamental, don't panic. I can't give you any real other solution because everybody, well, here's what this might mean and here's what that might mean. I have no idea what it might mean. I do know one thing, that things will change. That's my logic behind it. I can give you my opinion. I do believe that again, to repeat it, that there will be an independence of I pay my buyer and the seller pays the agent. I think that will occur. How that will be negotiated, that's a different conversation. And what will be right, what will be moral, what would be ethical, and what is legal and what is not legal. I think those things just have to be, again, feathered out and legally organized so everybody's interest is protected. That's the deal. Okay. So what I want to say this, I can continue guys here doing this, but somewhere in this recording, if not below or on this page, or I'm sending out in another email, I'm not sure how I'm going to do this. If you don't see it, then it's going to come out a second time. I did a training on the buyer presentation. Now, well, Mike, is that something I could use today? The answer is yes, 100%. Can you use the agreements in it? Well, it's a sampling of an agreement, which is what I call the buyer agency agreement, that you can look at. But it's not going to be the same document. Do not use it. I'm disclosing that now. Okay. You can't do anything with it. You can, yeah, print it out because it says, but it says sample across the top. And I think it says even on it, John and Mary Doe. I don't know. But it doesn't really matter. What does matter is the process is what works. And I'm very proud to say, along with my team and 250 transactions per month for a good long period of time, that it worked well. It worked very well because we presented this process that I'm going to share with you in this recording that I encourage you to watch. You might hear some things in that, but it might seem antiquated relative to the current state of affairs, but it's all pretty basic. That's probably about, maybe 2%, if not 1%, right? I might be off totally. You might say, well, Mike, this whole thing is bullshit, what you're saying, and turn it off and go somewhere else. That's what I can say. But I don't believe in just throwing out technical information. I'm giving you sales and marketing skills in my process here because everything else will fall into place under those umbrellas, marketing and selling and presentations and getting good at those. That's really what it comes down to. Hey, you signed a contract. What's it say on that contract? I don't know, but it's, don't worry about it. It protects us all. Okay. How many clients have you worked with that read all the fine print? Even the very analytical folks. Few of them. Okay. Few of them. And if they do, they do. It is what it is because you're not going to change it. I mean, necessarily, you could scratch out some things and put an initial and put some changes. But fundamentally, most people don't read agreements anyway. Not that we should do anything underhanded to make sure, oh, they're not going to ever know that. That's bullshit. You need to tell everybody and disclose everything that you possibly can and know and are aware of. It's not fair to them, and it's not right. You got to do the right thing, guys, right? So I think to wind this down here, if you're still with me, is do not freak out. And the last thing I will say here is about this is, are there going to be people who are going to leave our business? Yeah, I'm sure you've heard everybody say, oh, there's going to be a bunch of people exiting the business. There probably will be. Just in its natural attrition, because the market slowed down a bit. Interest rates are up from the other day by 0.1% versus the other day when they were down by 0.1%. And you're going to have a bunch of people who just can't deal with it because they didn't need to deal with it in the first place. It was just an extra side hustle for them to make a few extra bucks and getting the way of the full-time professionals that are in this business. So we have that natural progression of attrition that's going to go down. Then this is going to go down because people are not listening to me here now. And well, this is too long already, Mike. I mean, well, that, you know, if you're listening to me, that's great. You're still here. Thank you. I appreciate it. So you're going to lose a bunch of people anyway. So will there be an attrition in our business? I believe so, because people have to step up. They're not going to have ways to articulate what I'm saying here in any way, shape, or form, even though what I might be saying here is overly confusing and doesn't make any sense at all at this moment, because really it's still unsettled, the arrangement here. I'm just saying, love what you do, love your business, love your company, love what you present to people, the offer that you have, be aware of what's going on in the marketplace, be open to change, be cool with that. Just be good at marketing and be good at selling, be good at presenting. Those are the things that you will do. Most people will not want to do that. Even if they stay in the business, they're not going to ever do that. Just my experience. And those of us in our space of consulting and coaching, we get that. Like, you know, I can offer, but I can't convince people to do anything I say. Even if they paid me to do it, doesn't really matter. I mean, most people are incentivized to, you know, because of the payment, but it is what it is. All right. So the business will change. You're going to lose some competition, which is really, really good. So the final thought I want to give you before we wind down here for sure, well, maybe not for sure. I don't know yet because, again, I'm doing this extemporaneously, but I know there's one thing I do want to share with you. The people in the talking heads, and I believe this to be true in one sense. Again, let's get to context here, guys. Let's get to context here. That the cost of buying and selling a home will go down. It's going to go down for sellers. Oh my gosh, I don't have to pay that $20,000 commission. I only have to pay five or 10. The buyer, they're going to get a good deal because now the seller can bring down the price of the home to offset. So I can bring it down by 10 grand. I'm not paying it out, so I might as well bring it down. So really the seller is not making as much as they thought they were making, but that's not really the big thing what I want to share with you. So they say that it's going to give more opportunity for buyers to enter into the marketplace because now it's, so to speak, more affordable, even with the current, well, not so high rates. They're just, you know, we're not used to them, or some of you guys are not used to 7% interest rates. When I started the business, they were starting at 22%. And by the time I was in full production, they were at 12%. And I'm talking full production. We're talking 100 plus transactions, right? And that's at 12%. And during the heyday of 98 to 2008, they were roughing about 7 to 9%. Imagine that one, guys. And we still did a truckload of volume. And prices were still going up, and there were still people who kind of needed a roof or wanted a roof over their head, and they wanted to buy real estate because it is still one of the best investments that anybody could ever make. So, yes, the cost will come down to buy a piece of real estate, giving opportunity for more people to enter the marketplace. But wait, there's more that you must be aware of. What's in our current situation as of the time of this recording? We have low inventory levels. We have higher interest rates. We have more than 50% of the homeowners today fundamentally have 3 and 3.5% rates on their mortgage. What does that mean? You all know what it means. I'm just going to answer it because that's my job here. Is that they ain't moving as quick as they probably would like to move. Because I can't go from 3% to 3% in a bigger home. I'm going from 3% to 7% in a more expensive home. So why do anything? I'm going to sit on the sidelines and wait for things to settle out. I'm going to cut a hole in my garage so I can have an office there. I'm going to get greater and better technology. Instead of me putting 20% down, I'm going to put 3% in upgrading my home. I mean, I could come up with a million solutions here why they won't do it, right? Short of people needing to do something and or having the capacity economically to just want to buy a big place. And that's cool, you know? Hey, I'm moving from a $1 million five-bedroom home to a $2 million two-bedroom condo. Hey, because I can. And I don't want the big home. I want a big view is what I want, right? So there's things there that are going to go on. So what does that mean? We got pressure on two things. Supply, not pressure, it's just part of the equation. Supply and demand. Supply is low. Demand, if this when this changes, I say that positively, when it changes, you're going to have more people say, oh, now I can get in the market. It's going to be cheaper and sellers are going to give up all this money. There's going to be more demand in the marketplace for properties that do not exist. Thus, what's going to happen to prices? Low supply, high demand equates to what? That's right, higher prices. So let me give you a quick example, then we're done for this, at least at this moment. I have my house for $500,000 because of this new rage of not having to pay commissions. We can now drop it down to $475,000, thus opening the market up to a 50 more buyers, let's say, as an example. Before I only had one, now I got 50 or 49 more of them going after my house. What's going to happen? That's right. The prices are going to bid up. $485,000, $90,000, $95,000, $510,000, $520,000. Why? Because there's limited supply and higher demand. Logic, right? So what we thought was going to be a savings is now going to be a much more expensive proposition. But that's for the sideline, non-contextual talking heads to discuss. Because they're not economics majors, nor am I. I'm just a logical eBay kind of guy. You see, if you put a product on eBay and nobody wants it, but you put it up there for a buck, right? I'll give you an example. Here's my pen. I'm putting it on eBay. It sells for a dollar. It's for sale for a dollar. Let's assume for the sake of this discussion that nobody wants this pen except one person. What am I going to get for this pen? You're right. 50 cents. If I'm lucky, right? So you can look around. There's nobody looking for your pen, Mike. I'll give you a quarter. Just get off my head and give me the pen. Okay. What am I going to do? I'm going to cave. Give me the 25 cents I needed to eat, all right? Now let's take the same pen and put this pen in front of 1,000 eyeballs, all of them wanting it. That pen for a dollar is now worth how much? Whatever the 1,000 people are willing to pay. Dollar, two, three, 10, 20, $1,000 just for this pen that's really worth 25 cents, right? At least by its standard in and of itself. So supply, demand. eBay had it down, right? And so, guys, be confident that what you're going to be doing here going forward will be the best thing. I got to composing myself. You may have heard a scream somewhere in the background there. Again, nothing planned here. So, guys, let's get at it, okay? Get together in your mind that this is something that you want to do and you're going to continue doing. If you want to leave the business, you know, just let's talk about it. If something that you don't want to do, but you're unsure, have a conversation with somebody about it. That's in a positive and enthusiastic and encouraging fashion. Okay. This is going to be a good thing. I believe more than anything that we need to have some semblance of just eliminating competition, being fair and just to the marketplace. And it's going to be what it's going to be. Okay. But you must bring up your value proposition to the world and what you do. You must propose to the world that this is the thing to do, which is own real estate, whether it's buying, selling, or investing. You have to propose to the environment that you're the best at that, not because you say so and because you have a bunch of fancy documents, but you must prove your worth. You must prove your value. If there's one thing that everybody's kind of having in common here, a bunch of talking heads, is that this is what's going to be required. Again, the consumer has no idea what you really do. It's awful because you never communicate with them. Well, I'm not saying you, just when I say you, I'm generally speaking. Most agents never communicate with their clients. They fall off the side of the earth. When things go bad, they even communicate less. When they're not selling their homes, that even gets worse and worse. They don't want to talk to lenders. They don't want to talk to vendors. They don't want to talk to bankers. They don't want to call their coach and say, "Mike, what do you think I should do?" I'm not sure what is the problem there. If you don't have the chutzpah to stand up for what value proposition you bring and call or get seek advice or pick up the phone and talk to your seller and say, "Hey, man, I made a mistake. This sucks, and so does your price. Or this is what I'm doing to get your home sold." Rather than worrying about what they're going to think of you and say to you, and, "Oh, but I don't know what to say to them, Mike, when nothing's happening." That's what you say. Nothing is happening. "But why? I thought you said you were the best thing since sliced bread." "Well, I wasn't really telling you the truth. I was reading a bunch of platitudes on a piece of paper that said we've been around in business for 10,000 years BC. And I didn't know any other reasons to say it. I didn't have anything else to say because I'm not a great presenter other than that." So therefore, weakness sets in, right? Again, I'm going down this road here. Just understand that this is going to happen. Be cool. Reach out. If there's a video on here, watch it, please. You know, I'm going to continue down the road here of hammering this home like pretty much everybody else, but I'm doing it with the intention of making sure I do my job. Whatever you want to, if you don't want to listen to the next recording, then you don't have to. Doesn't bother me. Because some people will, some people won't. So what next? Right? And just continue. And then the final and last thing that I want to say, because this again came to my mind, which really should have been the first thing, is you got to keep, if you're going to stay in the business and you said, "Yo, Mike, I'm going to hang out, dude. I'm going to make it harpoon," or in the language of today's world, happen. Right? And that is continue exposing your brand. Let people know what you're doing. Offer your value proposition. And that you're the best at helping them because you are not going anywhere. You are not. Steve Jobs did not give up, right, in the business of computing. Yeah, he went to another company that he opened up himself. And then eventually he was brought back to a company that now is worth trillions and trillions of dollars. Now he could have walked away and you and I would be talking through a can and a string right now. Right? I doubt it, but you know what I mean. All right. So stay in this business. It's a great business. And if you don't stay in the business to sell it, at least buy some real estate for yourself and your family. So be good at exposing your opportunity to the world. Be that voice, talk on video, put it in writing, ask ChatGPT for some help, articulate it to your style, your personality, you know, just whatever it takes. Be there because a bunch of people are on this. "What do I say, Mike? Oh my gosh." Say something. Say, "Guys, I ain't going anywhere, nor is your home. I am here. We'll figure this out together. Hey, why don't we do this? Let's sit down and talk about it." That's all you got to say. Client asked me, "Well, Mike, what do I say?" I don't know what to say. I do know what to ask. And that is, what is it that you want to accomplish here? Money, we'll figure that out later. You will. It just happens. Because if people really, really love you and they love what you're going to be presenting to them and how you're going to help them save money and make money and feel good in their lives, they'll pay any price for that. Otherwise, we'd all be driving Volkswagens or small cars. Rolls-Royces and Ferraris would not be in our world today. Hummers just would be Jeeps with a tire on the back, and that's all it would be, right? Get over it, guys, and get on with it. Let the world know that you are still alive and that you are still well. And I'll talk to you later. Go have a great day. I appreciate you hanging with me for a couple of minutes, and we'll continue the conversation. If you have any questions, needs, wants, or desires, whether you see this and you're one of my clients or not, feel free to reach out to me. More than happy to have a chat with you about whatever it takes to make this happen for you. Go have a great day. I thank you for your time. Talk to you soon.